Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Bonnie North. For a virtuosic guitarist, Pierre Bensouzan almost ended up a piano player. He started his formal musical study at piano at the age of 7, not long after his family moved from his native Algeria to Paris. 10 years later, he had signed his first recording contract on the guitar. Today, the Los Angeles Times describes him as, quote, one of the most unique and brilliant acoustic guitar veterans in the world music scene today. His music draws on his Algerian, French, and Jewish heritages, as well as a variety of folk traditions from around the world. Bensouzan was in Milwaukee in February teaching and lecturing, and he gave a performance at the Peck School of the Arts recital hall on the campus of UWM. He stopped by the Lake Effect studio while he was here and told me that becoming a guitarist wasn't ever in the plan.
In fact, it was a coincidence, an accident. I was on my way to be a pianist, and my teacher went away. She abandoned me. And I really felt like abandoned, like orphan. And I stopped playing. I tried another teacher, two other teachers, and the chemistry was just not there. So I felt there was no need for me to play the piano anymore. It's strange, huh? And so my father was the entity to suggest music in my life, not by saying play music, but just by making it available to me. He was listening to swing, to Django, Benny Goodman, opera, tango. So all that music was always there, especially on weekends when he was not working. And it was not like, oh, you have to play. It was like, do what you want. And so I played all the time. And because he loved Django so much, he got me a guitar. When he saw the piano was not going to be in my life, at least for that time, he got me a guitar, just in case. And I ended up teaching myself how to play the guitar because music had to come out. Music was sort of saying to me, hey, Pierre, no. We like you. You need to let it go through you. So, and that's exactly what happened with the guitar. I didn't like the guitar at all.
Why not?
Because it was not talking to me. The piano is so logic. It goes up, down, you have two hands, you sit, you look at it, and you create chords and counterpoint, and you discover the compositions of other people in a very unique way. It's like reading a book and entering in the mind of a writer. Same thing with the piano. I could really go into Beethoven or Schumann and Mozart or Bach and feel totally overwhelmed by those guys. Like, oh my God, how can someone write such beautiful music? But that, in fact, without me knowing about it, it sort of told me something about music from inside, the way it's made. Not a recipe, but just a sort of inspiration to see music from within. And so when I went to the guitar, I think I took that luggage with me somehow. It never left me. And then, gradually, the guitar started to become a piano for me. I needed to go back to the piano. But, of course, I had lost by then all my shops and relationship with that instrument. So the guitar became my new best friend.
I love the idea of that it becoming a piano for you. I have a similar experience. I started out as a pianist as well, and I'm just now learning the guitar. Mm-hmm. And I find the same problem, mm-hmm. that the logic, that the way the piano works and the way I experience music, it's hard to translate it to the guitar for me right now. And so you had to actually take it and make it.
Mm. It's doable. A lot of composers out there have been writing for guitar, and some are guitar players themselves, like Berlioz was a guitar player. Villa-Lobos was a concert piano player, but he worked with guitar players. Piazzolla worked with Roberto Ossel to compose his pieces for guitar. Sometimes they need to work with a guitar player to find out what can be done and what cannot be done. When I approach composition, I try to go from a point of view of what I would like to hear, not what is doable or not doable. First of all, just what are the sounds, what are the notes that should be there, the chords, the harmony, and then see if it's doable or not, and try everything I can to make it work.
And you also use a specific tuning on the guitar that a lot of people in Celtic music use and in other genres of music, but it's one that you stick with rather than the more standard tuning.
In fact, I started with, I'm self-taught, so I didn't spend much time with a standard tuning, although I did, you know, chords and singing and doing a lot of folk music and stuff, but I was attracted to open tunings, to experiment with tunings at a very early stage. And so I was going from one tuning to another tuning. And after a while, I started to feel a sort of piano attitude again. Like in piano, there is no tuning. There is just a keyboard. And you deal with what you have. And I thought, okay, I'm going to maybe stick to one tuning and learn my fretboard this way. And forget that I want to have an immediate result with that tuning, because sometimes we go to different tunings in order to capture something unique, not necessarily feeling that we have to master that tuning. I mean, not that we do master anything, but that, you know, we try to be able to improvise, to know chords, scales, modes, know the notes, know the fretboard in that tuning. So very often we don't really deepen the tuning, we just stay on the surface of it. And I decided to not stay on the surface of the tuning I use, which is D80, G80, dadgad, and to really make it like a standard tuning, you know, like what jazz guys, classical, flamenco, Brazilian musicians, when they play the guitar, they play in standard tuning, they really deepen the tuning, and I did the same with dadgad. Everything had to be played in dadgad, whatever it took. A lot of stretchings.
Yes, you know, I imagine.
A lot of stretching because strings are tuned down, so you need to make it up. That space that you lose needs to be compromised with better flexibility. And because I came from the piano, that really helped me. My fingers were totally ready for that. That's another thing the piano helped, agility.
It's also, when you're in an open tuning like dadgad, there is that openness, and it feels like, at least as a listener, that there's space to move around in there. Mm. Does that make sense?
It does totally make sense. And then you need to present another side of music, which is sometimes there is no space. You need to work with contrast and oppositions. So the problem with open tunings, I find, is that it's too emphatic, too vibrant, too wall resonant, too much information sometimes, and too much sound kills the sound. You need to create a perspective so that the ear goes through a different experience. And so you need to give the information of space, of sustain, of long resonances, and also something much more intimate. When you speak to the ear, you whisper. And when you whisper, the sounds are very short. They have a different quality. And so then it's another way to enter into playing open tunings, which is that you need to control the sound and the longevity of notes, which technically speaking is a very different approach.
Yes, one of the things that people fall in love with open tunings is that big wide open sound, and it just goes on and on and on, and you can just live in there, and it's very self-indulgent, or it can be.
Yeah, I know it's self-indulgent. It's overwhelming, and it's great. This is exactly what I felt myself. I'm like everybody else. I totally fell in love with Celtic music. It was so proper to playing traditional drone quality music, like Irish, Scottish, some French music, Indian music, Arabic music, stuff like that. But then when you start saying, okay, I'm going to play a tune with no open strings at all. I'm going to play a chord, like a B flat, or an E flat, or like a B major, or like an E major, and you are in dadgad, it gives you a completely different idea of what you come up against. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, I need to work this thing totally different. There is no sense of pleasure anymore. It's like work. It's like, okay, we need now to get into that thing and understand how it functions. And as soon as you start looking at your fretboard like a fretboard and no longer an open tuning, you're in a different place. I think this is the place I wanted to be in. Go away from this open tuning and get the best of both worlds, like the wall resonating sounds big, sounds which open the spaces and talk to you a different way. And then something completely different where you don't hear the tuning at all. In fact, we should not pay attention to the tuning. It is something which is an internal cooking recipe. But the taste, as you know, is something more important than how we get to that, in order to get to that taste, you know.
Now, you grew up, or at least were born, in Algeria, and you mentioned Arabic music and, of course, Indian music as well, where there are all kinds of other harmonies and tones and quarter tones and different rhythms. All of that I hear in your music. At least as you talk about a flavor, a taste, there might be a little bit of a spice of that thrown in. Do you consciously use all of those things, or do they just sort of percolate through you as you're composing? And
both. In fact, mostly the second option that you quote. I feel that things happen through me, and I try to control as much as I can. But sometimes I have no idea what's going on. I understand musically what's happening, what I could do musically, but why is that thing coming to me in the first place? I have no idea. It's just there. So I don't try to explain it or justify it, or I try to not waste it and to do something interesting with it. And yet, it's a good balance between letting the spontaneity taking place and not penalize it by trying to be too sophisticated or too intellectual about it, and yet develop it into an art form where you try to give a direction to it, to try to control a little bit on the perception that one might have when listening to it, and also as a player to make it doable so that it's enjoyable to play. And not a torture. And a lot of things are difficult to play because I try to play what I hear, not what I know. So a lot of the things I write, I have to learn them. They are, of course, in my system, but sometimes, technically speaking, it's very challenging. And so I need to come up to that level of expertise, which I don't necessarily have. This is how I've improved my technique over the years. By just have the guitar to really capture something which had nothing to do with the guitar. It was just an instrument for me. And so I try, as a guitar player, to stay away from guitar talks, from the things that fingers, you know, the finger things, that very self-indulgent kind of thing, which means nothing musically most of the time. But one can be trapped into a technical ease and forget the very sake of music, which sometimes is very easy to play. Something very easy to play can sound beautiful, and that's exactly what I want to do. I would like to always be in a musical content and not in anything else.
Pierre, I want to thank you for stopping by.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you.
Guitar virtuoso Pierre Bensouzan performed at the Peck School of the Arts Recital Hall on the campus of UWM in Milwaukee in February. He spoke with us then. There is a link to Pierre Bensouzan's website from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And that's all the time we have today. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you can be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air comes your way next.